Good afternoon. It's been a long day, long 2 days, so we decided to put me last so that we could have some very in-depth technical stuff since your brains are so refreshed. But regardless of where they put me, we are going to get through this. It is going to be fun. I love regular expressions. It is like a logic puzzle to me. And if you're not familiar with regular expressions, we are going to cover what they are. So without further ado, let's move on and start going through and finding out what these crazy things actually are. Now, I have included a ton of data in the slides because I started going through everything and realized that there is so much information out there that I couldn't leave you with just a taste. I do not intend to cover everything in the slides. That is not my intention. Today, you're going to get your toes wet. You're going to understand what a regular expression is and learn some ways how you can use them in Flair. But there is a lot more information in the slides for you to take home. So if you've looked through the slide deck and think there is no way we're going to get through it all, you are correct. We are not going to actually get through it all. Who in here is already familiar with what regular expressions are? Okay, a few. Who has never touched a regular expression before in your life? A few more. All right, so we're pretty evenly spread, it looks like. So a regular expression. This is how Microsoft defines it. I've been working with regular expressions for a long time. I have no idea what they're talking about. This makes no sense to me. So here's my take on regular expressions. A regular expression is, first, a way to search for a range of characters, like A to Z, 0 through 9, only punctuation, that sort of thing. It's a way to search for this or that. You can search for chips or crisps, sweaters or jumpers. It's a way to limit your search to this, but not that. So search for Star Wars, but not Star Search. And it's a way to limit your search to this, if that. So search for Python, but only if Monty Python. Now, one quick note. You'll see this abbreviation a lot. Regex or Regexp, which I find it really weird to pronounce the P. Some people will say Regex, as I do. Some people will say Regex. Any way you pronounce it is fine. Either way is fine. It means the same thing. Another note to be aware of. In this presentation, we're talking about Madcap Flair. There are a ton of other systems out there that can use regular expressions, but they may use different parsers. Madcap uses the .NET framework to parse its regular expressions. That is to take it apart and figure out what actually does what. So if you're going to take this information and use it in another program, be aware that they may not work immediately. You may have to do some tweaking so that it will actually work correctly in another software program. Also, for our purposes, a parser has nothing to do with the parsec, which we know is 3.26 light years. So why would you want to use regular expressions? Well, for one thing, when you are using a find and replace in Flair, if you're doing just the standard search, let's say I know that I have a bunch of tags, a bunch of headers, that are either H1, H2, H3, they may or may not have classes, and they will see either introduction or intro or some form thereof. Well, we know that we have to have better headers. Introduction just does not work well for search engine optimization. So I need to go in there, I need to find all of those. The only way I can find all of those that are H1s or H2s is to perform an individual search for every single possibility that it could exist. That could be a lot of searches. With a regex, you can use one search string to find all of the different possibilities that could exist. So here I'm looking for any header that includes the word intro or introduction and then the ending header. We're going to look at how all of this works later. These are just some examples of what. You can also specify that your search string has to occur at a specific place in the line or at a specific place in the file. You can also use this with replacing. Now, a standard search looks for X and replaces it with Y. It's a one-to-one ratio. And if you find an exact bit of text, including the tags and everything, you have to replace the entire thing you found. On the other hand, with a regex, we can look for any paragraph that contains the word intro or outro or uptro or downtro and replace it, the H1 and opening and closing tags replace the opening and closing paragraph tags with opening and closing H1 tags while keeping the text between those tags exactly as you found it. You can find and modify text that can be formatted in multiple ways. Someone in one of the sessions yesterday was talking about this, where they had notes that had been formatted in a bunch of different ways, and they had to figure out where all of those were so that they could code them with the CSS. That's actually the exact use case that I have been planning to talk about for several months, because this is one of the exact same things that we've done. You can replace some instances of a word, but not all. So let's say that you work for a construction company. And in this construction company, you've been using this old style, everything is blue, and your graphic design team comes and says, nope, every construction company uses the color blue. We are going to be different. We are going to use red. And so because all of your style documentation, everything that tells your users how to style the documentation, uses the word blue, you need to switch all of that to red. However, it's a construction company, so you're going to have instances of the word blueprint. And I've never heard of a red print. I don't think anybody has. So you can search for the word blue and change it to red unless it's part of the word blueprint. If it's part of the word blueprint, you leave it as it is. How my company has used regexes. Before we get into the more specifics of examples of how we've done it, I would like to show you how you have to set this up in Flare. The first thing, as we're going through these examples, the yellow box at the top shows you what you're going to put in the find box. This is your find and replace in files that is in the Flare editor. The purple box will show you what you replace it with. The red box that I'll use in my examples is the original text before we've done any regexing. And the green box is what you will have after you've completed the find and replace. While you are doing searches in Flare, make sure that you set the search type to regular expressions. If you don't have that checked, it won't work. So the example I had mentioned just a few minutes ago, replacing note and important. A few months ago, our company had been doing some work on our style sheets, and our webmaster realized that he could update the style sheet to include the word note or the word important in there by default. A lot of our users had been styling this differently. So we would have some people who would have note in bold, some in strong tags, some in italics, some where the colon was inside the closing tag, some where it was outside, some with spaces, some where they didn't have any styling whatsoever. And we had to figure out where all of these were and take them out of the documentation because that was going to be added automatically with CSS. So instead of having to go through every single topic and looking for the word note, or instead of having to search for the word note in the find and replace and then go in there and manually delete it file by file, I created this regex, which allowed us to do it all in one fell swoop. Again, we'll look at these examples in more in-depth after we have had a little more context. Another example. In January of 2018, my company acquired another company that had a pretty substantial library of documentation that had not been written by a technical writer. And it was lacking in formatting, to say the least. It took a lot of our time and energy to go in there and make sure that these styles were up to our standard, that it was formatted in the way that we wanted it to be done, the way the rest of our documentation was done. A lot of this had to be manual work. A lot of it required our eyes to be on it and for us to actually change it line by line by line. But I realized there was a lot of information in there that I could take care of very quickly, because there are a lot of instances where there would be a one-word button, a one-word action item. Click OK, click Add, click Edit. Clicking the next button does this. And so with this regex and this funny-looking line in the purple box, I was able to take all of those instances, and if they were one-word commands, switch them so that those commands or those buttons would be in bold. Another thing that happened for my company is that we purchased a piece of software called Screaming Frog, which looks for, it's SEO, search engine optimization. It goes through everything. It creates these sitemaps, and it helps index us for Google. If there's something in our documentation that Google doesn't like, it gives us a warning, hey, fix this. One of the things we realized was that we had been using a lot of topics that would start with an H2 or an H3 because it looked fine in the PDF output, which is what we are still required to provide for a lot of our use cases. We provide PDF and HTML, and it was working fine for PDF, but not so fine for HTML because it was dropping us down on the Google search results. So our webmaster said, we have to fix this. We have to make all of these starting headers H1s. And he started going through and doing it manually. I said, wait, nope. I got a regex for that. And by using this regex, replacing it with the replace line, I was able to take every H2 or H3 that occurred as the first line of the body and make it an H1. That includes the opening and the closing tag, keeping the text the same. Now, this monstrous beast is actually one that we use quite a bit. Before I can get into this, I need to explain our process as a team. So when we are working on software documentation, which is what we do, we have two versions that we keep in Flare at all times. We have the current version that our customers currently have access to, in this case, 18.2. And that is what they are currently running. That's when they click about on the software, they see 18.2. However, we're also working on, sorry, that would actually be 18.1 with this example. Our customers are running 18.1. Our development team is building 18.2, and we need to add 18.2 into our documentation while still keeping 18.1 around just in case somebody finds an edit or there is a typo or somebody asks us to create a new page in a document. So we keep both versions around. The old documentation, stuff that will no longer apply once 18.2 goes out, gets the deprecated 18.2 condition tag. The new content that will become available only after 18.2 comes out gets the added 18.2 condition tag. So in 18.1, the public portal was always on. That's just flat, static, couldn't change it. In 18.2, our developers made it so that you could set the public portal on a schedule. So we were documenting the schedule, but we currently were publishing always on. Then, when 18.2 released, we delete all of the deprecated content and switch this so that we take away the condition tag altogether. It's just regular text. It's not conditioned anymore. And then the process starts all over again. Deprecated material gets the deprecated condition tag for the upcoming release, and new material gets the new condition tag. So with this regular expression, I'm able to go in there and look for any added condition tags, and then I remove that from the tag. In this example down here, you see I've got P madcap conditions, release added 18.2, and default print only. I want to keep the default print only because that's not supposed to go out to the web. That's only for our PDF outputs. And using this, I just run those two lines in my find and replace, and it takes release added RS 18.2 out of that tag altogether. Any questions so far? Yes. Sorry, say that again.
So, after it's added to your content, does that mean you when you work on can you go back to the screen and figure out when something was added?
Well, when we start working on 19.1, if we need to go back and figure out when something was added, we don't use Flare specifically for that. We use source control. We currently are using Git for that purpose. In the past, we used Tortoise SVN, and that's how we keep track of older versions. But by keeping the two versions, the one that is current and the one that we're building, that allows us to republish any corrections in the current documentation while adding new content. Anything prior to that, we would have to go back into source control. Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, running diffs in GitHub. Anything else? Okay, feel free to interrupt me at any time. I have kids, I'm used to it. So how do regular expressions work? The first thing we need to address are special characters. In this blue box up at the top, you will see a range of characters that will be used in the regular expressions to signify certain things that the parser should do with the string. That means that if it sees the star or the question mark or the brackets, it will know that it's supposed to do something special with whatever text is around it. We'll get into a few more details in a minute. And also, I have not covered all of these. And I thought about adding a table to say what each one did, but some of them work only in concurrence with other things, and so it gets really complicated. I have provided a link to a page that does a very good job of explaining all of that, that you are welcome to read on your own time, but it just was not covered in this scope. Now, if you need to search for a string that contains one of these characters, if you are looking for a question specifically, you would have to precede it with a backslash. So if I'm looking for an asterisk, I would have to type backslash asterisk in order to find an actual literal asterisk. If I'm searching for a literal backslash, I would have to include two backslashes. One quick note before we go any further, My tongue does not like to say backslash, especially repeatedly. So I'm going to use some jargon here. And backslashes are commonly known as whack. And I know that's pretty whack, but you're going to have to deal with it. So ABCs and 123s, the most common way to search for a big group of characters with the fewest characters possible. If you are looking for any letter, number, or underscore, that's any word character, you can use WACW. That will pull up A, Z, 0, underscore, any one of those. If you need to search for a space, a tab, or a line break, WACS. Now, one note, this does not find non-breaking spaces. Is anybody fuzzy on what a non-breaking space is? Okay. Let's say that I have three words. These three words, or these two words, occur side by side in the documentation. And they really belong together. If you separate them, they're going to not make a lot of sense. Or one word will drop down to the bottom, and then the other one will be by itself. And there are other ways to get around that. But for the purposes of this explanation, you don't want these two words to be separated. If you have a regular space in between those two words, and it gets to the end of the line, that word's going to drop down to the bottom. If you press, let me see, what is it? Is it shift space? Is it control space? Shift space. It will add a non-breaking space. That means that if it gets to the end of the line and there's no more space, it won't break. The whole thing will move down. That's a non-breaking space because it will not break across the line. That is coded in Flare as %#160:". So if you look in the XML editor, it looks like a space. But if you look in the text editor, in the source code, it appears like this. The regular expression WACS will not find a non-breaking space. So sometimes people add them accidentally. It's really easy if you're using a lot of shift characters and you're typing to press shift space and add that non-breaking space. There is a way to get around that, which is pretty simple, and I'll cover it in the examples below. I just want you to be aware of that. Another important thing to be aware of is the dot. The dot can be your best friend or your worst enemy because it gives you any character except for a new line. It gives you anything except that line break. So if you need to find any bit of text, you can add a dot, make it repeat, and find any bit of text between two items. However, it is so easy to get way more than you bargained for and end up selecting the entire topic. So be very, 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 very careful with the dot. There is another way that I have for finding a lot of information between two tags without using the dot, which again, I'll cover in a little bit. You can specifically search for numbers, specifically tabs, and specifically line breaks. These all occur, mostly going to work in the source code with these as it's searching. I'm not exactly sure how it works if you do a regular expression in the XML editor, so be careful with that. Grouping and capturing. This is very important because this allows you to take any number of characters and treat them as one search string, one token. So here, I have the letters C-A-T, but when I search for C-A-T enclosed in those parentheses, I'm not actually searching for the letter C, the letter A, or the letter T. I'm looking specifically for the word cat. So it cannot be broken up. I can find cat, catalog, and concatenate, but I cannot find at because those letters are in a different order. These parentheses are used with repetition and back reference, which we'll look at on the next slide. You can also, that vertical line is called a pipe. If you include two strings on either side of a pipe within a parenthesis, or you can do more than that, it will treat each item as a specific search. So here we've got cat or dog, but again, it doesn't mix up the letters. It will find only cat, not act, and it will find only dog, not God. If you want to find God, I recommend talking to your local priest. So I mentioned grouping and back reference. Grouping is what we talked about in the previous page, treating one bit of information as a single search tree. You have to find all of it or none of it. With back reference, you can actually find something and then using a backslash and a number, find that exact same thing again. So here with wax star within a group, it looks for any number of word characters. And then with WAC1, it looks for that exact same phrase that it first found repeated a second time. So apple, apple, grape, grape, the, which has happened so many times in documentation. Or my next example, word is as back reference does, pretty is pretty does. So it doesn't have to be side by side. It can be any order as long as it knows what it's looking for. Now, you will sometimes use it in your search, but more often than that, you will use back reference in your replace. So if I am looking for something that occurs I'm looking for a specific string, but I don't know exactly what that string is, I just know what's on either side of it, I can find the string and then use a back reference to repeat it or to switch the order. It counts up starting with the opening parentheses. So the first opening parentheses starts the first group, the first capture group. The second opening parentheses starts the second capture group. If you have this big set of parentheses with smaller parentheses inside of it, and then another parenthetical group outside of it, it doesn't count 1, 2. It counts 1, 2. Does that make sense? All right. One thing with Flare, this is not true of all parsers, but it is with Flare, it is with .NET, and it actually kind of makes sense to me, is that you can only have 9 captured groups. If you go over that number and try to back reference a 10th group, it will just reference the first group, 1, followed by a 0, and it will not return any results that you like. So what you can do to stay within that limit of 9 is to group but not capture using a question mark and a colon. So if I need to have 10 different groups or 20 different groups, but I need to keep that limit within 9 because I know I'll need to back reference in the replace, I can take a big group, and then with the small groups inside of it, I will not capture those because it's already capturing the whole big group as the first captured group. It captures everything inside of there. I don't have to capture the little groups individually. Or if I'm just getting rid of something altogether, I can choose not to capture a specific group. Square brackets give you an easy way to set a large range of characters that you want to find. So with a character class or a character set, you specify what you are looking for. A through Z, 0 through 9 is a common one, finds any letter or number. You can also find a specific range of characters, A through N, for example, or a specific set of characters that you provide. Only vowels, only punctuation, only numbers that are between 7 and 9. And you just put those into that square bracket, and it knows that it's looking for one of the items that is in between those brackets. Now, by itself, this will find only the first instance of a matching character. So if you have the whole alphabet and you search for A-E-I-O-U, it will find the letter A, it will say, I have succeeded, and it will stop looking. So be aware of that. We, again, have another way to get around that. Another use for square brackets is to find anything that is not one of the included characters. And this is very, very, very helpful. This is one of the tips I told you about to replace the dot. We'll get to that tip in a moment. Let's first look at how it works. So if I need to find cat or cast, but not cart, I include the caret within the square brackets, followed by the letter R. And it will look for C-A, any letter that's not an R, and then the letter T. So it finds cat and cast, but not cart. If I need to find cat, but neither cast nor cart, I could use those square brackets, caret, and have R and S. It will find neither R nor S, and will return my results. There's a bit more that goes into that, but you have to start somewhere. The question mark is specifically what I'm referring to. Now, the reason this is so helpful, let's say that I'm looking for a paragraph tag. I can use I have the angle brackets that occur at the beginning of the paragraph and the end of the paragraph. I don't anticipate having any angle brackets on the inside for the purpose of this argument. And I need to select all of the text that occurs between the opening P and the closing P. So instead of using a dot and potentially selecting the entire document, I use square brackets, a caret, and second half of the closing angle brackets group. Therefore, I know I'm looking for P. I'm looking for any character that is not an angle bracket. I select everything up until that closing angle bracket. And it gets me everything that's between the opening and closing tags. I use that one a lot. You can also find text that does not contain a specified string. This one is a little bit more tricky to work with to make it actually work the way you want it to, but it is available. Word boundaries, because boundaries are important. So you can use word boundaries to duplicate find whole word as it appears in Flare. However, what Flare cannot do is to say that this word must, or this bit of character, this segment of characters must occur at the beginning of a word. It finds the entire word or nothing at all. But with the regular expression, you can say that I need to find the letters C-A-S-T that occur at the beginning of the word. I don't care what follows. And therefore, whack B cast finds cast and castle, but not podcast. Whereas cast, whack B, word boundary, will find cast and podcast, but not castle. That makes sense to people? It's because the C-A-S-T, followed by the B, shows that it must occur at the end of the word. There's a space after it. There can't be any other letters. A space or a closing tag or a period or comma. Variety of other punctuation like that. Similarly, you can define the beginning of a line with a caret. So if I were to replace the whack B with a caret, for my first example there, the WACB cast, I would look for the word cast that has to occur as the first word of a line in Flair. The dollar sign used at the end of a word, as in cast dollar, would find the word cast occurring only at the end of a line. You can use two carats to find a string that occurs at the beginning of a file, or two dollar signs to find a word that occurs at the end of a file. However, in Flair, this is not typically going to be very useful because, as an XML file, any valid file, any file that runs correctly, will start with the XML tag and end with the body tag. So you can expand upon that, but if you're just looking for a quick and easy way to do it, it takes a bit more work. Now, this one is what makes regular expressions really, really work for you in Flair. Because if you're looking for a word character or any number or any specific range of characters, you don't typically want to find just one character. You're usually looking for a word or a phrase or a sentence. And without these items, you're going to stop at one. Remember, a regular expression finds the first result it can, and it thinks it succeeded and beaten the boss, and it can go have a party. But with a question mark, you follow the character or the group with a question mark, and it will repeat it zero or more times. So with this example, we've got the word not and space, not followed by a space, in parentheses. That's a group. We look for it zero times or one time. So that would find it's raining zero times or it's not raining one time. If you need to find a character or group one or more times, you use the plus symbol. H-O plus P finds hop and hoop and whoop. If you need to find something zero or more times, you use the star. So here we're looking for a word character or a space. There's the square brackets, either the word character or the space. That will find I'm ready zero times, or I'm almost ready, that's like seven times, or I'm definitely almost certainly ready, which is what my kids say about 30 minutes before they're ready to do anything. You can also be more selective with the number of times you find a character or a character or a group. If I know I need to find something an exact number of times, I include it in the curly braces right after whatever I'm looking for. So H-O curly braces 2 P will find hoop with two O's, but it won't find hop or hoop. You can also specify a range. So here I've got five or seven. Specify a range, add the smaller number, followed by a comma, and then the larger number. So I have word brackets. WACW tells it it's looking for a word character, letter number, or underscore. Within the curly braces, I include 5, 7. So I'm looking for any word character that occurs between 5, 6, or 7 times. That will find psycho, because that's 6 letters, but it won't find jaws, which is only 4 letters, and it won't find Casablanca, because that's 10 letters. It would find something that's 5 letters long, it would find something that's that is 7 letters long. Before we go on to taking another look at those examples, are there any current questions? Yes?
So talking about
carrot,
the dollar sign, is it at the beginning or the end of that line?
Is that line of the line? Yeah, I'm pretty... sure that the regular expressions look in the source code, although I could be wrong about how exactly they handle tags if you are looking in the XML editor. I use it in the source code exclusively because that's my use case. I am not entirely sure how it would handle looking at the XML editor. So we may need to look into that further. We'll play with that afterwards, see what we can figure out. Other questions? Yes.
One of your slides said you have to use the match case flag. How does that work? You can't replace it with a lowercase letter with an uppercase letter.
Right. Matching the case in Flare when combined with regular expressions. I touch on that in a little bit. I'm trying to figure out if what I have in a little bit will answer your question or not. Can we come back to your question after that? All right. Any other current questions? All right. What time does this end today? I don't remember. 5:20. Okay. So coming back to my real life examples, I know that when we were looking for notes, they were going to be in either a bold tag or a strong tag. They were going to have a colon somewhere. There would be some combination of spaces or non-breaking spaces and a closing tag for the bold or the strong. So I start with the angle brackets, and within those angle brackets, I look for either the word strong or the letter B. Then I have the word note. That's the key that we're looking for there. I then have, in the purple, a regular space, which I could have also used WACS, but I chose to use a regular space, or ampersand hash 160 semicolon. That's the non-breaking space. So that will find either a regular space or a non-breaking space. And with the star outside of that group, I'm looking for 0 to infinity spaces. Then, with the orange, I use a back reference to my first tag here. That will be either, if I found a B, it will look for a closing B. If I found a strong, it will look for a closing strong. And that will occur with a question mark, 0 or 1 time. Because I don't know how many spaces in what relation to the colon and the closing tag, I then look for spaces. Not in this case, no. No. And I know that they can be used. I included them in the very first. Oh, let me repeat your question. I did not escape the angle brackets. The angle brackets are used in conjunction with a question mark, I believe, to do some special stuff. Therefore, they are considered a special character, but if you don't have them escaped, it works fine. If you do have them escaped, I'm pretty sure it also works fine, but we'll just, again, we can play with that later and find out for sure. I do have the backslash, or not the backslash, I have the forward slash not escaped also, because the forward slash is not a special character in the regular expressions. The backslash is a special character, the forward slash is not. But then I have the back reference to be or strong. Then I add the backslash to the colon, because otherwise it will try to do something different. And again, I look for the closing bold tag, a space, one or more, 0 or more occurrences, or it could occur at the very end, the closing bold tag. So I'm looking for a lot of spaces and I'm looking for one occurrence of the closing B or the closing strong. I don't know where it's going to be. Now, one thing that was a little bit strange to me when I first started working with these, but I quickly figured out why it happens. Why don't I use a back reference to the space? The second time I look for the space, why don't I use backslash 2? Anybody have any ideas about why that would be? The reason is because once my group finds what it's looking for, it remembers that for the rest of the search. So up here with B or strong, the first time I find the B or the strong, I know that the closing tag has to match or else the page wouldn't work at all. And you probably would have figured that out before you got to this portion of the testing. If it doesn't open, if it throws errors, then there's something wrong with your tags. So I know that since my pages all worked, I was looking for a B or a strong as the closing tag. However, spaces are not like that. I can have space, non-breaking space, non-breaking space, 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 any order, and it will be fine. And if I were to use a back reference to look for those spaces, then the first time it found a regular space, it would not search for any non-breaking spaces. Or if it found a non-breaking space first, it wouldn't look for any regular spaces, which would probably cause a lot more issues than the other way around. I just now realized that I could have, with the orange tags, I could have used a back reference with a 3 so that I wouldn't have to repeat the closing tag. Pretty sure that would work. But I didn't think of that, so I didn't do it. Yes?
So I'm just having a little bit of a hard time reading all the code. Like, I'm with it for the beginning, the B, pipe strong, and then the note, and then it says find any number of spaces. And then after that, it's saying look for beer strong again, or with the...
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Okay, let me try this again, see if I can be clearer this time. So yes, it is finding B or strong, then it's finding the note, then it's looking for spaces, and it's looking for the closing tag. You said you're with me up to that point, but then it gets confusing. And the reason it's confusing is because some of my users styled this differently. Some of them included a space, probably by accident, before the colon. So it would have appeared in the text as note space colon. Some of them would include the space within the bold tag, so the space would be bold even though you couldn't see that. And then the colon. That's the first two. Now if we ignore the first purple one, this would be the example of having bold note, finish the bold, non-bold space, colon. Now we'll get rid of the purple and the first orange. This would be the instance of having note, space, both bold, and then the colon. Okay, good. So I was looking for a lot of different instances, and there are some other ways I could have done this, but this worked quickly and easily, and I could have moved the colon around instead, but this worked. Yes?
So do you ever consider just breaking it up into smaller lines and replaces? A lot of times when I'm dealing with different formats like that, I'll just run 3 different ones, you know, to handle for those different scenarios instead of writing a big one, just because it's quicker to put the syntax together.
So running smaller finds in our places as opposed to one big one. Yes, I have definitely considered doing that, and I have often done that. That's going to be part of my top tips at the end of the presentation, because there are definitely instances where you want to have one big find in your place that will take care of everything, and there are definitely instances where you want to knock out a big bit of the data and then take another look at it. Good question. Making the simple commands bold. And here's where we were talking with the uppercase versus lowercase. So with this command, I was looking for click the OK button, or clicking the OK button does X, or click OK. I was looking for any one of those combinations with any specific set of words. So I started out with a lowercase c and an uppercase c in parentheses, which didn't seem to make sense at first, but then I realized that I need to keep that uppercase versus lowercase. So by looking for the lowercase versus the uppercase in a group, I would find the lowercase or the uppercase, and then with the back reference, WAC1, it would keep it as lowercase or uppercase. And I could not have it set to, it's not match formatting, it's match case. I could not set match case because I didn't know that all of my commands were going to have that uppercase or lowercase as I had indicated. Some of them could be lowercase, some of them could be uppercase. So I had to do it in that way to keep it in the correct sentence case. Then I included ing followed by a question mark. This looked for ing occurring zero or one time. So click or clicking. We switched to the yellow, the followed by a space occurring zero or one time. I didn't know if I was looking for click the OK button or simply click OK. I was looking for either one of those. So by making the space occur one or zero times, that took care of both of those situations. I then had a bunch of different one-word commands that I included in this group. I was looking for OK, add, edit, close, next, save, return, submit, reset, and a whole bunch of other ones that I saw occurring a lot of times. It would find any one of those and replace it with itself in between the bold tags. If you look down at the next line, we have, I forgot to mention with the yellow, if it found the word the, it added it. If it found nothing, it added nothing. Then I added the bold tags. I found the keyword and added the keyword in between the bold tags. And finally, this may or may not have ended with the word button. Click the OK button. If it found space button, it adds it back. If it does not find space button, it adds nothing. And I was able to take a whole host of one-word commands and make them bold with this script. Making each topic's first line an H1. Now, we talked about finding text at the beginning of a file, but as I mentioned, every Flare file, every valid Flare file starts with XML and has a whole bunch of other information before you actually get to the part that you see on the web page. So, I started with a group that looked for the opening body tag. After that opening body tag, I looked for any space character, a regular space, a tab, or a line break. I did not include non-breaking spaces because non-breaking spaces would not be occurring in this scenario. It would have been outside of the outside of any tags. Those spaces would occur anywhere from zero to infinity times until it found something that was not a space. I knew that the next thing it would find would be an opening angle bracket, and within that angle bracket, it would be either a P or an H, 2, 3, 4, 5, etc. So in the group, the orange group, I was looking for P on one side of my pipe. On the second side of my pipe, I'm looking for an H tag that is not an H1. The square brackets with the caret say it's not an H1. Then I look for any attributes. Those attributes could be anything from class, ID, style, you name it. And I didn't know what they would be. I wanted to include as broad a range as possible. So I'm looking for H2 and any attributes up to that closing bracket. Then I use the dot. And I'm looking for zero or more instances of anything that's not a line break. Now, why did I use the dot there? Because I've said it's very dangerous. Two reasons. First, I know that everything's going to be occurring on one line. And second, within that paragraph or that heading, I could very easily have variables or conditions or bold tags or other things like that that would have those brackets, those angled brackets. And so I could not use that same square bracket, don't look for the angled bracket. So I had to use the dot there. And then I finish with a back reference to either the P or the H2, 3, 4 that I found in the opening. I replaced the body, put that back where it came from. I replaced the attributes, and I replaced the text that occurred between those opening and closing tags. But I switched the orange to be H1, because that was the purpose of doing this whole thing. And we are really close on time here, so I'm going to skip this beautiful rainbow, which is very complicated, and you are free to ask me about it later or email me, and we'll skip to the top tips. The first thing you want to do is test, test, test. Make sure that your regular expressions are doing what you expect them to do. You don't want to do a find and replace across everything only to find out that you have literally found and replaced everything. That causes huge headaches. Secondly, someone mentioned this in a different presentation as well. Commit to source code before you do any kind of regular expressions. After you've run one successful test and made sure that everything runs smoothly, commit to source code before you do any further regular expressions. And I tell you this from experience because it has caused me many tears. Not literally, but almost. So commit before, commit during, commit after, so that your regular expressions don't break your code. And if they do break your code, you can go back to something that works. One thing I do, this is kind of my process here, I will run a regular text search first to see how many results I'm looking for. If I'm looking for the word introduction, I will search and just take a look through the results, see how many of those are in H1s, if that's what I'm looking for, and that way I know there are 143 that I'm looking for. Then I will do a find with my regex. If my regex returns 140 out of 143, I am super happy, and I know that it's probably correct. If it returns 2,381, something's wrong. So I go back and fix that regex before I do anything else. Then I will open up a topic or select a subset of topics or do one at a time, and I will find and replace a few with my regex to make sure that it replaces correctly. After I'm sure that it's replacing the way I expect it to, I will probably run the whole thing. if the regex is broken, I will open up the text editor and use the in code text editor to run regular expressions, because it gives me a real-time view of what it can or cannot select with my regex. There are a couple of exceptions where if you do some really funky stuff, it won't find it in the preview, but it still works correctly. But don't worry about that. If it doesn't work correctly, you probably don't need to be running it unless you're really, really experienced. I'm not that experienced yet. So you run the find and replace to make sure that the results is about what you're getting. Let's say you get 143. You commit your changes. And you do another regular text search to find what's unchanged. You can, if you've still got 80 that you're looking for, you can modify the regular expression, do the whole process again, remember to commit, and then continue to repeat the process until you've done everything that there is. Now, if you've gotten down to a handful of stragglers, now in my example, that would be 3. Sometimes I'll even do 20. There's a point at which it's a lot more time efficient to go back and do it by hand, as opposed to trying to fix a regular expression, which could take you an hour instead of taking the 20 minutes to just open each file and do it manually. But they can save a lot of time. Bonus tip, regexes can take a long time to run, especially if you are looking for a really complicated or a really large piece of information. To cut down the processing time, you can designate which file types you're looking in. Now, the drop-down box there gives you several options, but it's not as refined as I like it to be. You can type in there. So what I usually do when I'm running my regexes is I will type *.htm, semicolon, *.flsnp, and that will find and replace only in topics and snippets. There are some other places where you might want to do it in master pages or page layouts, but this is generally going to take care of what you need. In the red example there, find in, if you have a really big one that is finding thousands of results, you may find that it totally bogs down your computer to the point where it won't work. You just get that black screen where you can't type anything, and you tear your hair out. To keep you from going bald, instead, you can select a specific folder to search and replace only in that specific folder. Then, when the regex is done in that folder, you can go down to the next one and the next one and the next one, and it helps it not get overloaded. And finally, remember your find options. You may or may not want to match case. You may or may not want to use whole word. I very strongly recommend finding in source code, although I am very willing to, somebody was wanting to know about it, you were. So we will try that in the XML editor and make sure you select regular expressions as your search type. That is all we will cover today, but I have provided a ton more resources for you, including articles and systems that have helped me tremendously as I've been using my regular expressions in my daily work. Thank you very much for your time.